Okay. It's a really, really interesting topic today. Whether I'm successful with it or not, you can decide. But the topic is fascinating. The topic is, okay, there are mitzvos asays and there are mitzvos los asays. That's clear. But there seems to be a whole bunch of other things where, to describe it plainly, you get this sense that it's what God wants, but it doesn't say it any place specifically. That's what we want to talk about today. Rav Asher Weiss calls it Ritzon HaTorah. Rav Amital Zatzal used to call it Ruach HaHalacha. Most Achronim, have some name for it, but the existence of the phenomenon is clear. And, if you're Frum and you care about learning, you'll know that sometimes you can't find a source for something. You can't find a specific source for something, but that doesn't mean that you're not obligated or otherwise prohibited. And there's any number of ways to look at it, but there is a source in this week's parsha, and it starts with the Ramban. Okay, I'm sorry, let me bring up the think. Okay. So in the parsha, you come to the end of Moshe's big speech. It's called the Na'um of the Chukim u'Mishpatim. It started in Perek Hey of Dvarim. It goes till Chaf Hey or Chaf Vav, I forget. And then you have kind of these psukim. I don't want to say like self-congratulatory psukim, but psukim that relate to the whole Torah. And the Ramban would tell you, well, they relate to the whole Torah because we just got the whole Torah. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the whole Torah. Moshe gave us the whole Torah. He completed it with the mitzvah of Bir Maestros at the beginning, in the middle of Kisavo. And now he's telling us some general things. So you come across a pasuk in source number one that says, Arur asher lo yakim et divrei Torah hazot la'asot otam va'amar kol ha'am amen. One of the arurs is a person who doesn't keep the Torah. So on a basic level, okay, it means a person who doesn't keep Shabbos, a person who doesn't keep Kashrus, a person who doesn't learn Torah. That's basically what it means. But not for the Ramban. And he starts hinting at something really, really important here. So first he quotes Rashi in source number two. Arua shelo yakim et divrei Torah hazot, kan kolal et kol haTorah kula, vikibluah aleihem be'ala ubishvuah lashon Rashi. Says Rashi, this is a covenant. Having given us all of the Chukim u'Mishpatim, having given us all the Torah, now Moshe Rabbeinu, on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wants us to accept it. So here we accepted it, be'ala u'bishvuah, with curses and with a promise. Okay. The Ramban doesn't specifically disagree, but he has another idea. U'lefi da'ati, in the second line in the middle, says the Ramban, ki ha'kabbalah hazot, sheyodeh b'mitzvot b'libo, v'yihiyu be'einav emet. Okay, it's not just, or it's not even, that you're going to keep the Torah. It's that you're going to accept the Torah, and you're going to acknowledge and recognize that the Torah is true. Sheha'oseh otan yihyeh lo sachar v'tovah, v'ha'over aleihem ye'onesh. Right? It's not just that you acknowledge the truth of the Torah, you also acknowledge the truth of Schar V'Onesh. If I keep these rules, I'll be rewarded. If I violate these rules, I'll be punished. V'im yachpor ba'achat mehen, o tihiyeh be'enav b'teila le'olam, hinei hu arur. If any one of the Tariag mitzvos is something that you reject, again, different than violate. You simply don't accept that there's a mitzvah to learn Torah. You simply don't accept that there's a prohibition to eat basar b'chalav. Says the Ramban, the arur applies to you. But now he goes, fourth line, aval, in the middle. Im avar alachat mehen. But let's say you accept the Torah. You just happen to violate one of the mitzvahs. Kigon shalchala chazir v'hasheketz l'ta'avato. right? You ate pig or you ate some creepy crawling thing because you desired it. Oh, shala osas sukkah v'lulav la'atzlah. You're lazy. So you woke up on the first day of Sukkos and you said to yourself, it's true. I kept telling myself that I would put up the sukkah, but I didn't. So now I have no sukkah. I kept telling myself I would buy dalet minim, but I didn't. Says the Ramban, it's really surprising. Einenu b'cheirem hazeh. You're not included in this arur. Why? Ki lo amar hakatuv asher lo ya'aseh et divrei haTorah hazot, ela amar asher lo yakim et divrei haTorah hazot. Kitam kimu v'kiblu ayudim v'hinei hu cheirem hamordim v'hakofrim. Says the Ramban, there's a big difference between a weak person. There's a big difference between a person who acknowledges, yes, there is a mitzvah of Shabbos, and I'm not allowed to do X, Y, and Z on Shabbos. But I feel enormous pressure to do this deal, and I have to answer the phone, and I have to send emails, and I have to be Mechallel Shabbos. Says the Ramban, that person was Mechallel Shabbos. Let's be clear. And he has to bring a chatas, and et cetera, et cetera. But he's not in the Arur. The Arur asher lo yakim et divrei haTorah hazot is a person who says, I don't believe in Shabbos. I don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibited me from working on Shabbos. That's a rejection of the Torah. That's different than a person who simply says, I acknowledge that I can't eat a cheeseburger, but I'm starving and I really, really want one. My Yetzirah got the better of me. Okay, so the Ramban here is introducing us to the idea of there are the mitzvos themselves, and those mitzvos come with schar va'onesh, but there's something beyond that. There's the acceptance of the Torah. And the Ramban would tell you that the acceptance of the Torah probably goes beyond tarryag mitzvos. Okay, that's the introduction to the topic we're going to discuss today, which is mitzvos that are not really mitzvos, or mitzvos that are not written in the Torah, or things that we learn out from the Torah. Okay? Most of my sources are stolen directly from Rav Asher, but what we do with it and how we discuss it is up to us. So first, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Obviously, I wouldn't know the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. I read it a few times, but I don't have that kind of recall. But Rav Elchanan Wasserman, in a sefer called Kuntres Divrei Sofrim, quotes this pasuk to prove our point. And it's really kind of striking. Says the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, in source number 3, Uvanu et bamot habaal lisrof et b'nehem ba'esh olot labaal. Okay, people violate the Torah and violate all things by burning their children in the name of Baal. And they do things that are what? Asher lo tziviti, one. Velo dibarti, two. Velo alta alibi. What do those things mean? So the Targum says, one, lo tziviti means lo pagidas ba'orite. I didn't command you in the Torah. Those are doraisas. Udelo shalachtis. Biyad avodai nevi'ai. I didn't command the Nevi'im to tell you. Those are the Rabbanans. Velo rava kadami, and things that are not my desire, that's Ritzon HaTorah. Okay, so, how it's very convincing, how controlling the source is, I don't really know. But at least Rav Elchanan Wasserman thought that God refers to these three categories, Doraisas Drabbanans, and what we'll call Ritzon Halacha / Ruach Halacha, and that's kind of a source in Yirmiyahu. But let's assume that's not a source. And by the way, let's assume you don't need a source. Because if you're frum and you care and you learn Torah, you realize that the category exists. But if you need a source, maybe the most famous one is number 4, the Gemara in Baba Metzia, which says as a fact that Tzar Baalei Chaim is Doraisa. Okay, to torture an animal for no reason is an Isser Doraisa. Now, the interesting part of that Gemara is when you look in the Gemara, there's absolutely no source for the fact that Tzar Bala Chaim is Doraisa. What I mean is, they learn it out from different things, but there's no pasuk, there's no hint in the Torah. Now, that's fine. You could say, like the Rav said many, many times, a svara is Doraisa. If something makes sense to me, that's more of a proof than a pasuk, than a kal vachomer, than a gzeir shav, than a mem matzinu. That tells you that it's true. But we're afraid to do that for a lot of reasons. And so the sore, or the most people say you could see that there's something other than asays and lo tasays in the Torah, because the Gemara refers to Tzar Balei Chaim as a Doraisa, and the Gemara doesn't bother to bring any proofs or any Doraisa proofs. So what are the two sources for how something can express itself or reflect Ritzon Hashem or Ritzon HaTorah without there being any proofs for it? So there are really two approaches you could take. One is, there are mitzvos in the Torah, and from the mitzvos in the Torah, I could learn a general rule, right? A bunch of particulars, which when you put them together, teach me a general rule. So for example, there, and the Gemara there discusses it above Metzia, there's the mitzvah of prika, right? An animal's carrying too much, it hurts, you have to help the balabais unload the animal. There's a mitzvah of te'ina, right? It's the opposite. You have to help the balabais load things on his animal. There's an iser of chasima, right? The pasuk says, lo tachsom shor bidisho. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's working. Presumably, and the Gemara, strongly hints at this, those three things, along with other things, seem to tell us that God cares about animals. Maybe oso ve'esbino, maybe kan sipor, but there are enough particulars in the Torah that tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about animals, and therefore, from those particulars, we can conclude that Tzar Balei Chaim is an Issa d'oraisa, right? We have no direct source. We have no specific source. But the conclusion from all the particulars seems to be that God cares about animals. Okay? How much? Not as much as humans. God lets us slaughter animals. But broadly speaking, that's one approach.
But
There, there's an.
without the Gemara, we couldn't have learned that out, though. No matter how logical it would be, without the Gemara, we could not have said that.
Why do you say that?
Because a lot of things you could logically deduce. You could. There's a million things you could say are logical, but without a Gemara or a source, I don't see how you could learn it out.
If what you're hinting at is that this is dangerous, I think you're right. But the fact that something dangerous doesn't make it, doesn't make any less MS la'amito in terms of Torah. You're right. It's harder to just say something on your own. To just get up and say, God wants me to be nice to this kitten, somebody else would say, how do you know? So you're right that, well, there's a bunch of things. But I don't know that if the Gemara didn't say Tzar Balei Chaim, Doraisa, we couldn't say it on our own. Okay, we would be lacking in the authority of the Gemara. That's true. But I don't know that you and I couldn't say, well, God wants me to unload an animal, and God wants me to load an animal safely, and God doesn't want me to muzzle an animal, and God doesn't want me to kill the mother and the child in the same day, and God doesn't want me to take the eggs and the bird in the same, I'm not sure that I agree. Like, I think we probably could say it. We don't. We don't for a whole range of reasons, but I'm not sure that we couldn't. Okay? The other possibility is you don't learn Ritzon HaTorah from mitzvos, you learn Ritzon HaTorah from psukim. Psukim slash narrative. So, okay, that's pretty dangerous because who learns things from narrative? But that's the Shita Saramba. And if you look in the Mor Nevuchim in source number 5, you see this amazing thing. He's talking about Tzar Balei Chaim, and he says, V'amnam, Amram Tzar Balei Chaim Doraisa. How do they know that? So the Rambam clearly makes this up. Ma'amaro al ma hikita et atoncha. Where's that from? Come on, somebody unmute.
Bilam, Bilam.
Right. He says they learn it out from the pasuk that says, you know, why are you hitting the donkey? The malach says to him, why are you hitting the donkey? And the point is, presumably, yeah, because you're not supposed to hit your donkey for no reason. Now, the fact that this is a mocker for something seems astounding to me. It's hard to know how serious the Rambam is, but that's what he says. Now let's keep reading. Hu al derech ha-hashlama lanu. So it like completes a thought. Shelo nilmad midat ha-achzariyut velo nachiv levat ha-lola lo toelet. Right? We're not supposed to learn from Bilam that you can hit a donkey for no reason. If there's a reason, you could hit him. If not, you can't. Aval nachon al ha-chemla v'ha-rachmanut. We're supposed to be merciful people. Va'afilu be'eze ba'alei chayim shi'iz damnu, with whatever animals we have. Ela le'eit ha-tzorech. Ki ta'avat nafshecha le'echol basar. Lo she'nishchat al da'at, I guess, ha'achzoriyut o haschok. Says the Rambam here, it's true. God allows us to slaughter animals, but only if we're hungry. Right, only if we need the animal to eat. For example, I think the Rambam would say, you know, you can't go on a hunt to catch a fox for sport. If you're going to eat the fox, okay, there's a heter, but otherwise not. Now the Rambam's going to explain. V'lo yitchayev li gam lefi zehadat hashela lomar. Okay, so then you're going to say, wait, lama hishkiach bibnei adam v'lo hishkiach b'hashkacha hahi l'shar balei chayim. Why did he care more about human beings than about animals? That's what animal rights people say. And the Rambam's going to tell you that there's a difference. Ki ha-shoel tzarich shi'ishal atzmo v'yomar. Lama notan seichel la'adam v'lo notan nishar minei balechayim. Says the Rambam, you got to be, you know, don't ask why we're allowed to kill animals. Ask, why are animals animals? Why are they not human beings? Ki ma'anez zot ha-shela ha-achrona. The answer is, Kain ratzo Hashem. O Kain gazra chachmato. O Kain gazar ha-teva. Meaning, the world is such, says the Rambam, that you should have mercy on animals. Right? Tzar b'lechaim d'oraisa. But it doesn't mean that they're the same as human beings. Of course they're not. You know, you could have, something could have a value, but not an ultimate value. Human life has ultimate value. Animals can be killed for a constructive purpose. So, you know, I think it's obvious. No one wants to torture animals. If torturing animals is going to lead us to a cure for cancer, I think the answer is it's mutter, right? If torturing animals is going to lead us to a perfume, you know, I wonder what the Rambam would say about that. But anyway, that's where we start. How do I know there's such a thing? How do I know there's such a thing as Tsar Balet? How do I know there's such a thing as Ruach HaHalacha or Ritzon HaTorah? So Elchanan Wasserman says you learn it from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Most people say you learn it from the concept of Tsar Balei Chaim. Not that it's a source, but the reason why we think Tsar Balei Chaim is Asur is either because there's a range of mitzvos that tell us that God cares about animals, or the Rambam would say, bizarrely, because it's a pasuk by Bilam that says, Ma almai kita tatoncha. And by the way, you can care about animals, but not to the level that you care about human beings. Henry?
So I think it was Rosh Hashanah spoke this week, he was here, and in it he spoke about Rav Kook, his sensitivity to even ants, not wanting to kill ants. So, like, where is that, you know, that line?
I think the answer is, for no purpose, you should avoid it. For a purpose, and the purpose could be that it's scaring your wife and your children, or it's just ruining your meal. But I think you need a purpose to kill even an ant.
So, in all seriousness, let's say, so understandably, to cure cancer, to, you know, create, you know, medicines that enhance, you know, life. But what happens to, let's say, you want to make a better face cream, or you want to make...
Right, so that's what I just said, you know, perfume. I understand that animals, you know, are used in researching types of perfume. I don't know the answer to that. I think that that's an open question. You could ask Rabbi Schreier, is that considered a human need? Right? I would think that a face cream that actually is going to help people is more of a need than a perfume, but I don't really know. Okay? That's that issue. Now, having set it up, let's look at examples. Let's look at what are the things we can learn from different mitzvot. I think this is a useful exercise to do, right? We said already, one of the ways that you can learn out Ritzon HaTorah is from different mitzvos. Okay, so let's look at them together. The first one in source number 6 is a famous one. We did it a few weeks ago. Va'asita al pi hadavar sheyagidu lecha min ha'makom ha'hu asher yivchar Hashem. Okay, you had a question. There's a big machlokas in your community. Is something asur? Is it mutter? What do? You go to Yerushalayim, v'shamarta la'asot k'chol asher yaruchah. You ask the Beis Din HaGadol, and you're obligated to listen to them. Al pi ha'Torah asher yaruchah, v'al ha'mishpat asher yamru lecha ta'aseh. Based on what they tell you, you have to do. Lo tosur min ha'Torah asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. Right? So there's a mitzvah that say, v'shamarta la'asot, Kichol asher yoruchah, you have to listen to them. There's a mitzvah lo saseh that you're not allowed to deviate from what they tell you. Simple. Now, bizman hazeh, that there's no Beis Din HaGadol, there's no Sanhedrin, does this mitzvah apply or not? So, Robert, here, I think it's a question of logic. I want to be careful. But look at the chinuch. It really stands out in the chinuch in source number 5. And I'll just say, I've noticed this is a thing in the chinuch you see pretty often, which is the mitzvah starts more or less paraphrasing or just quoting the Rambam. This is the mitzvah. Then there's the rationales for the mitzvah. Then there's the dinei ha-mitzvah. But often in the rationale, the chinuch convinces himself that the mitzvah is much broader than what he said at the beginning. And when we get to the very end of the mitzvah, like in source number 5, v'noheget mitzvah zo, which is the last paragraph in every mitzvah in the chinuch, he often expands it beyond where he started. So he starts the mitzvah of kichol asher yaruchah or lo tasur with Beis Din HaGadol controls halacha, and you have to listen to Beis Din HaGadol. But then he says in source number 5, like at the end of the mitzvah, V'noheget mitzvah zo bizman shebeit din hagadol b'Yerushalayim b'zecharim u'nekevot. Okay, narrowly, the mitzvah only applies when there's a Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim. It applies to all Jews. She'akol mitzuvin la'asot kol asher yaruchah. Every Jew is commanded to follow the halacha or follow the psak of the Beis Din HaGadol. And now he goes, U'bichlal ha'mitzvah Gam kein lishmoa v'la'asot b'chol zman uzman k'mitzvat ha'shofet k'lomar ha'chacham ha'gadol asher yihyeh beinenu bizmanenu. I think what this means is, says the Chinuch, Beis Din HaGadol was the final word when it existed. But nowadays, you're going to need some type of final word. And so says the Sefer HaChinuch, just like there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to listen to Beis Din HaGadol, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to listen to the Gadol Hador when he paskins a halacha. Now, you could ask me, and it's fair, how do you know the Gadol Hador? I don't know any of that. But this is, I think, an expression of Ritzon HaTorah, which is the mitzvah is more narrow, but the purpose of the mitzvah is broad enough to encompass the Gadol Hador b'yameinu. Ukmo she'darshu zichronam livracha ve'la shofet asher bayamim ahem yiftach b'doro kishmuel b'doro. Right? Yiftach wasn't anywhere near the level of Shmuel, but if Yiftach was a shofet in your day, the mitzvah d'oraisa applied to him. Kmo she'mitzvah aleinu lishma b'kol yiftach b'doro kmo Shmuel b'doro. Va'over al ze ve'eino shomer la'atzat ha'gidolim shebedor b'chochman ha'torah b'chol asher yoru mivatel asei ze. Right? So in the end, the chinuch really significantly expands the mitzvah. from his opening statement that the mitzvah only applies to the Beis Din HaGadol to Yerushalayim, to his final statement that no, if you don't listen to the Gadol Hador, if you don't listen to the Gedolei Hador, let's say you knew who they were, and they told you that you're not allowed to use a Shabbos clock, and you use a Shabbos clock, it would be a bitul asei zeva on show gadol ma'od, shizehu ha'amud ha'chazak she'ator nishenet bo. Right? It's not just that it's a mitzvah, but it's the system of halacha that you're challenging. Yadua ha'davar l'chol mi she'yesh bo da'at. Okay, so one argument is that the expansion of the mitzvah from Beis Din HaGadol to the Gedolei Hador B'Yameinu is more a function of Ritzon HaTorah and the Ruach HaHalacha and an understanding that if God commands me an X, I need to find a way to apply X Bizman Hazeh. Okay, I can't be 1,000% sure, but that's how it seems to me. All right? Let's go on. What's the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim? This is a really interesting one. So the Gemara is clear in source number 6. Gemara in Kiddushin, Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis says as follows. Ezehu Mora, right? I have a mitzvah of Mora Av and Mora Aim. The Ezehu Kibud. I have a separate mitzvah of Kavod Av and Kavod Aim. So the Gemara says, Mora is Lo Omeid Bimikomo. I don't stand in my mother's spot. V'lo yoshev b'mkomo, I don't sit in our seat. V'lo soter t'vara, I don't contradict her. V'lo machriya, I don't say things that make her seem wrong. What's kavod avaim? That we know. Ma'achil u'mashke, malbish u'mechase, machnis u'motzi. I feed food and drink. I dress her, I dress him, I cover him, I cover her. I take him in, I take her out. Okay? What's clear in the psukim is that kibud avaim is not just a physical thing, but there's a direct benefit, you know, to my father in doing it. He wasn't dressed. He was in his pajamas. Now he's wearing pants and a shirt, right? He had not eaten before, and now he's eaten. You know, he wants to go out. I took him out. These are physical benefits to my father. Is there a mitzvah of kibud avaim beyond this? If my mother says to me, you know, Ellie, it's chilly out, you should take a sweater with you. Now, I don't want to take a sweater with me. Is that an issue of kibud avaim?
Yes, so, if it's the weather, you need it after, yes.
I couldn't hear you, Menachem.
I would say if it's in New York and Jersey, it's very windy outside, I would say yes, I'll do it right away, even though if I don't want to, because it's a windy day out.
Okay, that's one approach. Interestingly, so Rav Asher quoted, interestingly, the Chazon Ish in his writings says, it's much broader than that. The Ritzon HaTorah is that you listen to your mother in all things that are not halachic and don't bump up against halacha, right? So, you know, your mother can't tell you who to marry, your mother can't tell you where to live, especially if you want to make aliyah. But he says, Ritzon HaTorah, as seen from the Gemara, and it's a little hard to see where he sees this, but Ritzon HaTorah is that when your mother tells you to wear a sweater, or your mother tells you to wash your face, or you know, whatever it is, there's no direct benefit to your mother. Nevertheless, that's a kiyum of kibud avaim. Okay, so that becomes another example of what we're discussing, of sort of an expansion of, or the understanding that once the Torah tells us we're supposed to respect our parents, we can expand that or we can understand that to be something beyond just benefiting them, even if the narrow definition of the mitzvah is to just benefit them. The same exact thing applies, although here there's a Gemara to support it, in the mitzvah of Ma'akeh. Source number 7. Says the Torah, Ki tivne bayit chadash ve'osita ma'akeh legagecha. If you build a new house or you build a new porch, you have to build an enclosure. You have to build a railing around it. Ve'lo tasim damim beveitecha, ki yipol hanofel mimenu. And if you do that, you'll avoid spilling blood on your property because no one will fall off. Now, what's the second half of that pasuk doing? I understand. Ki tivne bayit chadash, va'asita ma'akeh legagecha. What's below Tasim Damim Veitecha Ki Pol Ano Fel Mimenu? So the Gemara expands that and says, source number 8. The Gemara in Baba Kama Tezvav Amud Beis, Ditanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Minayin Shelo Yigadel Adam Kelev Rabbi Toch Beito. How do I know it's also for you to raise a pit bull who's going to eat small children? Va'al Yamid Sulam Ra'ula B'toch Beito. And how do I know you can't leave, you know, a very flimsy ladder that when somebody uses, they may break and fall? Talmud Lomar, Lo Tasim Damim B'Veitecha. Right? You should not be the person who's responsible for bloodshed on your property. How do I know, based on the Gemara, that it's also to leave an exposed wire in my house that somebody could electrocute themselves on? It says, Lo Tasim Damim B'Veitecha. Says the Chazon Ish. That's all learned from the Pasuk in Devarim. The Pasuk in Devarim tells me one specific case of Asita Ma Kelegagecha. But says the Chazon Ish, the implication of that specific example is you have to be careful and you can't leave anything dangerous in your house where somebody could come in and be hurt. Now, I understand completely the Chazon Ish's chiddush. I just think it's less of a chiddush because of the second part of the pasuk, right? The second part of the pasuk does say, "V'lo tasim damim beveitecha ki pol hanofel mimenu," which seems like an obvious expansion on "ki tivne bayit chadash v'alsita ma'akel gagecha." If you just had "ki tivne bayit chadash v'alsita ma'akel gagecha," in theory, I guess, or let's do Robert's thing, right? We don't know anything. I'm just looking at the pasuk, so I might say there's something unique about a ma'akeh, and it doesn't apply to electricity, and it doesn't apply to ladders, and it doesn't apply to pit bulls, and it doesn't apply to any of these things. But velo tasim damim veitecha ki pol anofel mimenu, you know, that seems to expand on, or that allows me to build a rule that I wouldn't otherwise have, or I wouldn't otherwise have. If I just had the one example of ma'akeh, I'd have one example. Lo tasim damim veitecha allows me to understand that it's not just the one example; it's God's will that you know you and I don't spill blood. Now, just it's interesting. There's a Rashi there. We understand that if somebody fell off my porch and died, there's some reason that he fell off my porch and died. God has a plan. But Rashi there says, and it's interesting. Yeah, but it shouldn't be your fault.
Kol fail.
Right. It shouldn't be your fault. Meaning, God has a million ways to kill a guy if that's really what he wants to do. It shouldn't be on your head that it happens. Okay, so another example of what I think you could call Ritzon HaTorah is sort of safety issues. Learned out from Vasita Ma'akele Gagecha as supported by Velo Tasim Damim Beveitecha and the Chazon Ish who says, you know, yes, that's the Ritzon HaTorah. Okay. Next example.
Ellie,
yes?
Would you say that you can enlarge upon the idea, the concept, if there is an entry point such as the Torah itself supplies a reason? Because that is far less murky waters.
So I want to say more than that. For sure I would say that. Like, I think that's a given. That's what the Chazon Ish is doing here. That's what he did with Kibud Av Va'em. I think that's a given. And I think, you know, our instinct should be to want to do God's will. Not just, great, I built a ma'akeh. But I want to have a house that's safe because that's what God wants. I think, you know, the instinct to limit the Torah or to say, and I know that's not what Robert meant, but to say, you know, who are we to make up some isser? I don't know. I think, you know, we're Ovdei Hashem. And it's our job to figure out what God wants and to apply it to our lives. So I you know, I don't live with that fear of expanding the Torah. There are certainly mistakes and it's certainly a dangerous thing. And you certainly need people who know much more than me. But the idea of, well, if this is Asur, do I think it teaches me that this whole area of halacha is problematic? Right? Do I think that ma'akeh teaches me all kinds of dangers in my house? I think, yeah, the answer is yes, I do.
Don't we also learn that from the Yud Gimel Midah? afatarachum, but then you don't have specific examples. That's much
So it's
broader.
fine, right? That's exactly the point. Character traits, we learn from the Yud Gimel Midos. And you could say, well, there's a character trait that we learn, and a person with this character trait wouldn't, but that's a level away from this thing is usur, this thing is mutter, which is what I'm trying to convince you of today to various levels of success. Okay, let's go on. Another examples. Look at source number 9. This is interesting. Says the Rambam, Perek Chavdal Alacha Yud Bet Nelcha Shabbos, Asru Chachamim Letaltel Muktzat Miktzat Tivarim B'Shabbat, Gedershu Osebuchol. Right? Chazal came and asked certain things. He said they were Muktzah, you can't move them on Shabbos the way you would during the week. Umipnei Ma Nagu B'Isruzeh. Where did this come from? This idea that things are Muktzah on Shabbos. Amru, they said. Uma im hizhiru nevi'im. Well, if the Navi already told me that my walk on Shabbos should not be the same as my walk on a weekday, velo sichat ha-shabbat ki sichat ha-chol, my speech on Shabbos should not be like my speech on weekdays. It doesn't mean you speak a different language. Shenemar v'daber davar, right? Yeshayahu as a pasuk. It's also to speak about, I don't know, business or sports or things like that on Shabbos. So says the Rambam, if that's the case, so Chazal came and they said, Kal v'chomer shelo yiyeh tiltul b'shabbat kitiltul b'chol kidei shelo yiyeh kiyom chol be'inav v'yavo lahagbia uletaken kelim mipina lepina o mibayit lebayit, right? So all of Shabbos, what are you going to do? You're going to move all the furniture in your living room. You're going to carry your weights from the basement to the attic. O lahatznia avanim, you'll carry big stones. None of which is also me the oraiso kiyotze b'hem sharehu batel v'yoshev v'beito. He's just sitting at home. V'yivakesh davar yishitasek bo. Right, he wants to be productive. V'nimtza shelo shabbat. If you're carrying heavy things all day long, then it's not Shabbos. And says the Rambam, u'batel hata'am shenama b'torah l'ma'an yanuach. Here's the Rambam on his own, saying the justification for muktzah is to protect the ta'am of the mitzvah. God said, L'ma'an yanuach. We understand L'ma'an yanuach to mean that Shabbos should be different than a weekday, right? It's not just that you should stay in bed for 25 hours. So the Rambam says, Chazal came not to support a mitzvah, but to support the ta'am for the mitzvah, which is an obvious expansion on the mitzvah itself. But once again, in some form, seems to be the Rambam saying, hey, there's such a thing as Ritzon HaTorah. Okay, those are four examples of mitzvos that are learned out from pre-existing mitzvos or from other mitzvos. Now, let's look quickly at the other category. How do you learn mitzvos from psukim or from the general narrative? That seems even more dangerous. But it's not. Look at source number 10. Not only is it the narrative, it's in Brachos. Va'avraham, hayo yihyeh legoy gadol. Just the background is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's telling the Malachim, Hamechaseh ani mei Avraham et asher ani oseh. I'm about to destroy stone. How could I hide this from Avraham? Va'avraham, hayo yihyeh legoy gadol ve'atzum. V'nivruchu bo kol goyei ha'aretz. Right? He's going to be great. All the people will be blessed through him, or all the people will bless him. Why? Ki yidativ leman asher yitzaveh et banav et beito acharav, says God, because I know that he's going to command his children what? Vishamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. He's going to bring up his children to do tzedakah u'mishpat. Therefore, leman havi Hashem al Avraham et asher diber alav. So God's going to be good to Avraham because Avraham is going to teach his children well. Says Rav Asher, that's the best source we're going to have for the mitzvah deoraisa of chinuch. How do I know I have to mechanech my children? It's Ritzon Hashem. How do I know it's Ritzon Hashem? Well, God loves Avraham because he's going to be mechanech his children. Clearly, it's a value that God holds highly. And so, therefore, huh? not in this context. Okay. Anyway, so that's an example of a halacha that could be learned from, you know, first of all, could be learned from any number of psukim. But the idea is, if God values the fact that we educate our children, it must be a mitzvah, and it must be a mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay? Another mitzvah learned from narrative and learned from narrative relating to Avram Avinu is the following. Source number 11 says the pasuk, Vayashkem Avraham baboker vayachavosh et chamoro vayikach et shnei narav ito ve'ig Yitzchak bino vayivaka atze ola vayakom vayelech el amakom asher amar loho Elokim. Right, so I have to ask you, everybody knows, this is the beginning of the Parshas HaAkedah. Vayashkem Avraham baboker. What does that mean? So look at source number 12. Says the Gemara in Yuma, Dav Chav Chesamid Beru Vayom Ashmini Molar Lato. You give a bris mila to a baby boy on the eighth day, Melamed Shekol Hayom Kosher Lemila. Okay, Vayom Ashmini means I could be mal my son anytime during daylight hours. Says the Gemara, Ella Shehazrizim Makdimim Lemitzvot. However, we have a concept of Zrizin Makdimim Lemitzvot. I don't know how you translate that. If you're the, what's the translation of that?
Eager to do mitzvot.
No.
Eager, zealous.
Right. The person who's in a rush, right? You know, Zrizim, you show your love for mitzvot by doing it sooner. How do I know that? Shenamar, says the Gemara, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. That Avraham got up early to do this. So it's not so much, you know, if I had to sort of do it myself, I would say, well, you see, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, if Avraham did it and God records Avraham doing it, presumably because God appreciates the fact that Avraham got up early, therefore it becomes halachic value, right? It's much easier to learn chinuch from the psukim in source number 10, right? Because there God says specifically, I love Avraham, ki yidativ l'man asher yitzaveh as banav v'net beito acharav, v'shamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. 11 doesn't say that. It just says, Vayashkem Avraham baboker. But I suppose you should tell yourself that if the Torah included it, right, that, you know, the Torah is not a novel. It doesn't include all details. The details that it includes are there to teach me something. What's the something? The something is Zrizin Makdimim Lemitzvot. Okay, one more, well, at least one more example. This is a timely one for us. Who says,
Ellie?
Yes.
Based on you using Avram as an example, so all the mitzvahs that the Avos were Mekayim, and the, you know, so much is written on it, then becomes a deraisa because all those mitzvahs pre-Matan Torah are Ratzon Hashem. So all the mitzvahs Klal Yisrael does before Matan Torah goes under Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem becomes then something obligatory, not something that they're just doing because, you know, out of love. And then it just changed the whole dynamics of all.
It doesn't change the whole dynamic. First of all, Ritzon Hashem doesn't get into Taryag Mitzvos, right? Zrizim Makdim in the Mitzvos isn't a mitzvah sase or mitzvah lo sase. It's a value in the Torah. The Avos did mitzvos, and almost always, Avraham Avinu did a bris mila. That's not why me and you do bris mila. We do bris mila because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, Uvayom Hashmini Imol B'sar Er Laso. But the fact that Avraham, you know, you could say to yourself, well, if it wasn't for the fact that the Torah said that, maybe I'd have to learn bris mila from Avraham Avinu. Okay, that's a whole halachic debate. But you're right. Basically, things that the Avos did, we think are Ritzon HaTorah. Or at least that's what I'm saying now.
Which becomes a characteristic of a deraisa for them.
What does that mean? I'm sorry.
Because they were doing it under, we're not learning from them to do it, but their actions, their observance of it becomes on a deraisa level even before Matan Torah. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if that's true. Again, Bris Mila, Avram didn't intuit that God wants him to cut off his foreskin. God told him to cut off his foreskin, right? So that's slightly different. Yitzhak was mafresh maestros. I think he did that on his own. So the Yitzhak thing is more obligatory to us than the Avram thing. That's my sense. But let's do a little bit more.
Ellie,
look at the yes.
Didn't we once learn that until Matan Torah?
Yeah, 1,000%. The Rambam says
and then
anything that happened before Matan Torah, nitna Torah v'nischad shahalacha. But I think the Rambam means Taryag Mitzvos. The source of Taryag Mitzvos cannot have occurred prior to Matan Torah, according to the Rambam, right? We don't do Bris Milah because Avram said so. We don't, not Mafresh Trumos because Yitzchak did it.
Right.
But Ritzon HaTorah is different. Ritzon HaTorah can be revealed by God at any point in human history. It's not limited.
And have validity.
Correct. It's not limited by halacha. So you couldn't say there's a mitzvah saseh of Bris Milah from Avram Avinu. No. But you could say there's a value to Bris Milah because God told Avram to do it. And there must be a value to it. I think often, and I think it's true, that we make two brachos at Bris Milah. In Israel, we make three, right? You make a bracha, Asher Kishem Zavasono ala Milah. That's because of a pasuk in Tazria. Then you make the most beautiful bracha in the world, right? The most beautiful bracha in the world, which is Lahachniso bibrito shel Avram Avinu. What kind of bracha is that? So we don't have time for it now. But I think those are the two parts of Judaism. There's the command, and then there's the history, and there's the fact that Avram Avinu did it, and Yitzchak and Yaakov, and things like that. Okay, I think so. Let's go on. One more say. Let me see. What else do I have here? One more say for Achinuch, and maybe we'll wrap up. Okay, look at source number 14. There's a mitzvah of Ahavat Hager. Right now, a ger is a term of art in the Torah, except where it's not. Right, a ger is somebody who converted to Judaism. And that's, we could argue different places, but broadly speaking, that's what a ger is. And when it's used in the Torah, it means to be kind to a person who converted to Judaism. But says the Sefer HaChinuch in source number 14, V'yesh lanu lilmod min ha-mitzvah ha-yikara hazot l'rachem al adam shehu bi'ir sheino eretz moladato u'mekom mishpachat avotav. Says the Chinuch, well, it is a mitzvah, though, right, to be kind to geirim. It must be the case that there's a mitzvah to be kind to strangers. Because essentially, it's a tough word. Because geir could mean a stranger, and geir could mean a convert. And says the Chinuch, but here I think it means both. Right? You find a guy Friday afternoon, he has no place for Shabbos, you invite him over for Shabbos. Says the Chinuch, that's a mitzvah of Ahavat Hager. Ah, he didn't convert. So what? It's the same thing. Kimo she'anu ro'im she'hatorah hizironu l'rachem al kol mi she'tzarich ezer. So it's true here. The Chinuch is saying there are enough psukim in the Torah to tell me that Ritzon Hashem, or the Ritzon HaTorah, is to help the downtrodden and to help people who need help. For me to say to you, helping a stranger is a mitzvah d'oraisa of Ahavat Hager. Vim hamidot halalu nizkeh liyot meruchamim me'Hashem yitbarach u'birchot shamayim yonucho al roshenu. Okay, and then God will reward us. V'akatuv ramaz tam atzivuy b'amro ki geirim heyitem v'eretz Mitzrayim. It's interesting. Ki geirim heyitem v'eretz Mitzrayim, says the Chinuch. It doesn't mean you were converts in Eretz Mitzrayim. It means you were strangers. He's kir lanu shekvar nichvinu. We already burnt b'tzar hagadol ahu sheyesh lechal ish haro'et atzmo b'toch anashim zarim u'v'eretz nachriya. Etc., etc. Okay, I think this is another example of the same concept. A, it's an expansion of the mitzvah del reis that the Chinuch quoted at the beginning, but it's based on other sources and it's based on a confidence that it's what God wants. Okay, we're not going to have time to talk about whether you have an obligation to be mechayiv yourself in mitzvahs. Just interesting, there's a famous machlokes ha'achronim between the Tzlach and the Minchas Chinuch. The Tzlach says, if you're not in Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach, so you're not chayiv in Karban Pesach. A lot of frum people, I'm not sure it's right, there's a big discussion bizman hazeh whether Karban Pesach applies, because it's not a din in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? It's just a din in Har HaBayis. We have Har HaBayis. It's a whole open question whether, you can bring the carbon af al pi shein beis hamikdash kayam. So, there are some frum people who make sure they're not in Yerushalayim at Chatzos on Friday, so that if there's a mitzvah, it won't involve them. The Minchas Chinuch thinks that's insane. If there's a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah, and we're obligated, to obligate ourselves in the mitzvah. It's sort of like, the example we used before. If you wake up Sukkos morning and you don't have Dalad Minim, aren't you an Ones? You don't have Dalad Minim. The mitzvah just applies now. I couldn't buy an on Sukkos, so I'm an Ones. So it can't be, right? It can't be. It has to be the case that, if you're frum and you follow the Torah, so of course there's no legal obligation before Sukkos to own Dalad Minim. But that Sukkos is coming. And that if you don't buy Dalad Minim now, you're not going to have them on Sukkos. Somehow or another, that stops you from being an Ones on Sukkos. Okay, last one and my favorite, but it speaks to all of us. And that's, for lack of a better term for it, that's Aliyah. That's living in Israel. So we all know that's a machlokes Rambam and Ramban, right? The Rambam doesn't count it as a mitzvah d'oraisa, one of the Taryag. The Ramban does. And there are many, many answers for why the Rambam doesn't count it as a mitzvah. But the obvious answer is, okay, it's a value. It's not a mitzvah. You look in the Pasuk in 16, in Shmos Perek Yim, V'ayreid lahatzilom yad mitzrayim ul ha'atom en aretz ahi, where? El eretz tova urechava, el eretz zavat chalav udvash, el mekom ha'knani v'ha'chiti v'amri v'aprizi v'ha'chivi v'ha'yivusi. Right? God loves the land of Israel. God loves the land of Israel. God thinks it's an eretz zavat chalav udvash. Right? So, one of the things you could say with respect to living in the land of Israel is the whole debate about is it a mitzvah or not, it's beside the point. It's Ritzon Hashem. Right? As I once heard Rav Schechter say, to a bunch of guys who are harassing him, he said, idiots, didn't you ever read the Chumash? It's not possible to read the Chumash and not know that God wants us to live in the land of Israel. Okay. Is it a technical mitzvah? Is it a value? I don't know. But I know what God wants. And maybe that's the best example of all, because, in my life, I want to live my life according to what God wants, not just according to what God commanded. So let's say, and I think it's wrong, but let's say there is no mitzvah in the Rambam to live in the land of Israel. But the Rambam valued living in the land of Israel. The Rambam knew that God wanted us to live in the land of Israel. Rambam knew that the Torah calls it Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash, and that's the place that God set aside for us. Okay, is it this siman in Shulchan Aruch? Is it that siman? Is it this halacha? Is it that halacha? It's beside the point. It's Ritzon HaTorah. And we wanna fulfill as much as possible the Ritzon HaTorah. Okay, so let's stop here. Basically, I try to explain or to introduce this concept of mitzvos that are not real mitzvos. Either they're learned out from other mitzvos, or they're learned out from the narrative, from the psukim section of the Torah. We saw a whole bunch of examples, but starting with Tzar Bale Chaim, which the Gemara specifically says is d'oraisa, even though there's no pasuk, all the way to living in the land of Israel, which the Torah, you could argue one way or another, but you can't argue that that's not a value in the Torah. And if it's a value in the Torah, it means it reflects God's desire. It reflects God's desire, it's something we should take seriously. Okay, I know the risks. I'm not advocating any new form of Judaism, but, the benefits seem to outweigh them. And certainly if we do this responsibly and we really think about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, above and beyond what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded, I think we'll be better Jews. Okay, Yasher Koach, Shabbat Shalom to everybody. And presumably I'll see you next week. Bye, Morty.
Have a great show.